I'd like to welcome to the show Eric Hayden, who is the director of the new film that's coming out this week on DVD. Eric, tell us about the movie itself.
Hi, Kevin. Yeah, the movie's called Astronaut, The Last Push, and it's a science fiction drama all about a tragedy in a very realistic space mission setting that leaves one astronaut stranded alone for a three-year mission back home. So it's very much what I like to consider like a psychological drama, really well grounded in the lead actor's performance, Kari Payton's performance.
Now, I actually had a chance to see this at a science fiction 24-hour science fiction marathon a couple years ago. So it is an intense movie, and it has it does really rest on that one actor, because how much of the movie is just him pretty much just on screen?
Yeah, well, the movie's 90 minutes long, of which 80 of those are him all by himself. So he really does. Kari does a fantastic job of really drawing the audience in and taking him along on this emotional journey as he sort of loses everything and then gets his life together in a way that, you know, it makes him into a better person than he was when the mission began.
How long ago did you film this?
Well, actually, we started shooting in 2008. The budget was a shoestring that we piecemealed together out of a small band of noble investors, and we really, you know, we built the set out of packing crates, and we, you know, on the weekends for several weeks, and I then spent the next few years editing it and doing all the visual effects. So it really has been a grassroots project that's been around my family for 5 years. Actually, the first day of production was September 20th of 2008.
Oh, wow.
So, it's a pretty big anniversary coming up, but it's been a lot of, it's turned into a real big family project with my wife doing all the music and our kids appearing in the film, and my dad, who's a rocket scientist, helping with the design of the spaceship and everything. It's been an awesome journey.
Okay, so you actually had some good scientific input into this.
Yeah, actually, you know, we really decided very early on that the movie had to be extremely well grounded in scientific reality, so that we would really go for an audience that don't often get movies made for them, which is people who really want to see realistic science fiction and not always, you know, chasing aliens down the corridors, which, you know, I love as well. But I just really wanted to make a film that was really for those people out there who look to our stars and our nearest neighbors and think, wow, what would it take to go to Jupiter? What would it take to go to Europa? And to provide a realistic look at how that would come together.
Now, you mentioned the visual effects. That's one of the things that I found impressive about it when I saw it, being such a such a small budget and such a limited film. Talk about that process and how you developed them and what you're going to see in the film from a visual effects standpoint.
Well, thanks, Kevin. It really, you know, I come from a practical effects background, which means that I worked here in Hollywood for a while doing on-set miniatures and robots and puppets, creatures, anything that you can imagine. I worked on Doc Ock's tentacles for Spider-Man 2 and the miniature spaceship for Zathura. So I had this background in actual physical miniatures. So we actually started by building a miniature version of the spacecraft, but we didn't really have the finances to adequately film enough footage of it. So I started learning Maya and 3D modeling on my own, and just spent a lot of time learning how to make CGI spaceships work as well as I believe the miniatures do. So it was a very long process in getting to that point. And the cool thing is, on the DVD, we actually have a little featurette that kind of goes into the background of the VFX and how they developed from going from the miniature to the very basic CGI models to what you see in the film. And on top of of just the actual exterior shots of the spaceship and the planets that it flies by and everything like that. There we had a lot of on-set effects work as well, where we had real Hollywood pyrotechnicians come in and set the set on fire and exploded and everything. We tried to do a good mix of both throughout. And I think that at the end of the day, it kind of makes the movie more magical than it would have been had it all been CGI.
I know there's always this big struggle between whether to do CGI or whether to do practical effects, and there is sort of a throwback mentality of the superiority of practical effects. But how does having the digital tools, how does that help a smaller filmmaker or an independent filmmaker achieve something beyond what they could normally with just the practical effects, which can be quite expensive?
Yeah, it's tough, man. Because when we built the miniature and we laid out a budget and we figured that we could afford to shoot for one day on a motion control stage, and I've been on motion control stages before, and to be honest, if everything went off perfectly and no mistakes happened the whole day, we would miracle our way to maybe 6 full shots of the spacecraft. And that would be if everything went flawlessly. But the upside to doing the CGI work was that there wasn't that limit on it. If I wanted to do a new shot of the spacecraft, I could design it and lay it out myself and take my own time at it. So that was the major advantage. It's up to the creative people involved to make the right decisions in terms of what looks best. And I'm really proud of how everything turned out. But at the end of the day, you know, there's 45 shots of the spaceship out there, and I don't think 6 would have cut it.
Mm-hmm. Was it hard to be, as the director, was it hard to balance wanting to do something that's best for sort of the art and the story, and then to sort of get into the technical minutia of trying to be a perfectionist on the visual effects level?
Yeah, it was a real rough struggle, while I can say today that I'm proud of how things turned out, I don't know if I ever came emotionally to the level of feeling like any single one shot was done. I have always felt that there was always another layer of something that I could do to make it even better. So and will that feeling ever go away? I don't know. I mean, it's a tough deal, and it really requires me, you know, almost separating into the producer mode and saying, hey, dude, you're out of time for this. You have to move on. Fortunately, once we took to the festival circuit, which, you know, and people seemed to really embrace the film, my feelings about any shortcomings kind of went away.
You also have some recognizable names and faces in the film. I believe it's Lance Henriksen has a bit part, and also is a Brian Baumgartner as well.
Lance Henriksen, who everyone recognizes from Alien and many other films, and then Brian Baumgartner, who's in the American version of The Office, which is awesome for him because, you know, the character he played on The Office wasn't the most intelligent character in the world, and which he was awesome, but it was really great to let Brian have an opportunity to shine, you know, using his own voice. He's one of the, you know, smartest human beings I've ever had the pleasure of hanging out with. We were able to get people to volunteer to be part of the project, to actually help us out, be part of the project, because they really felt that the story, which is rooted in that passion of why do we go places, why do we explore anything, and that we should never quit exploring, that there's always room for humans to touch places that they haven't been, and to go places that they've never gone, that there will always be that passionate need to continue exploring, and that the movie touches on that subject and that passion, and they came together to help us out to tell that story. Which was really great to have some big names come along and help play.
Great.
James Matteo's in it also. He was in Band of Brothers. And, yeah, we had a really fantastic cast that was able to help us out for this show.
What are the films that inspired you to make this movie?
Well, the first film that got me is 2001: A Space Odyssey. To me, that's the most brilliant piece of speculative science fiction ever made. And actually, in the book, in the sequel, the 2010, they even talk about, hey, humans can go to any place in the solar system except for Europa, that you should attempt no landing there. And that always really sparked my imagination. So I was really inspired by the book series as well as the movie of the Space Odyssey series. And then also The Right Stuff, to me, you know, that's the story of a bunch of guys who had never gone into space before, and it was the first pioneers going up there and risking everything, and in spite of the possibility of dying, they didn't quit. And that movie will always be one of my favorite movies of all time. And then, of course, you know, there's a lot of Apollo 13 in this one as well. The idea of this disaster in space occurring, and the astronauts have to work through the problems to get home. So, you know, I'm a lover of science fiction, and I'm a lover of science fact, and speculative science fiction is my favorite area to enjoy.
Does this raise any questions or issues or thoughts on the current space program in America?
Yeah, it does. And in fact, you know, we joked about it in the movie that, you know, that NASA would never get around to doing a mission like this because they have to, you know, it takes them a couple years just to, you know, just to pass gas. And although that's a dig at NASA, they have you know, they have a lot of people looking out for safety, and there's a lot of money coming from the taxpayers, right? And at the end of the day, I think this private space race, which is just now getting underway, is going to be the way that we do explore other worlds. And you know, when we started shooting the film, we talked about the space shuttle being retired. And that was before it was even considered that the space shuttle would be retired, and now it's gone. It's done. So I think going forward, you know, it's gonna be, you know, places like SpaceX that and the people like Richard Branson that get us off the rock and out looking farther. But with that comes risk. You know, and to be honest, you know, a lot of people would say, wow, NASA would never send a spacecraft with only two astronauts in it. And you're right, they wouldn't. You know, it was Spaceship One that launched not long ago and took one guy up into space again all alone. So it's just, you know, as we go forward, there's the game changes. And I think that this new private space race is the most exciting thing to happen on planet Earth in a long time.
Now, where can we, where can people pick up a copy of this?
Okay, as of Tuesday, September 10th, it's available in stores, which you know, Walmarts and Targets and Best Buys on DVD right now, you can actually pre-order it online at Amazon.com. It'll be available for streaming and for rental and purchase on iTunes and a bunch of other places as well, on-demand cable. The best thing you can do is go to our website, www.astronautthemovie.com, and there's a big list of all the places that you'll be able to watch the film. Be able to share in the adventure.
Sounds great. Well, hey, best of luck with the video, and hope people get a chance to check it out and on all the different platforms, not just on disc, but on digital rental and that sort of thing.
Well, Kevin, thank you so much, and I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me.
Absolutely.